New questions are raised after the Biden diagnosis revealed.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Will Haynes joins me in studio. Rick Rennell will be on later on. And again, phone lines are open for you, and we want to hear from you. I ask you to be respectful and kind to our phone screeners at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we're talking about the breaking news that came out over the weekend. And just yesterday, the President Biden has confirmed that he has cancer. Now, this is something that we're not taking lightly. This is not something that we are treating with any sort of disrespect. It's an aggressive prostate cancer that has spread into his bones, and that is not a good thing. It's something that is very sad. We tell your friends and family, pray for President Biden. But of course, also over the weekend, there's a lot of information that has come out as we are just a few days away from the release of Jake Tapper's book, of course, of all people, Jake Tapper's book, where it kind of reveals the cover-up that was going on about Biden's, really his medical status, how he was doing either cognitively or now what it looks to be physically, and how that was a big cover-up. Now, of course, that opens up a lot of doors and a lot of questions here. And again, I've asked you to be respectful when we do talk about this, but we do have to at least address these elephants in the room, if you will, because you can't just pretend that this is not happening and that this isn't the state of modern politics. Because look, what likely would have happened right now, let's say President Biden had kept running, maybe he won. Let's say he beat President Trump. Now, I think that would be unlikely. But let's say in some world, in some version of this, he had won. You would have likely have a President Harris right now. Because I have a feeling whatever kind of treatment that a over 80-year-old person going into, just being around it, knowing cancer, seeing it through family members and everything, this is not something that would have been, you'd be able to govern the country while going through this. So was that a plan? Was that part of this? There's a lot of conspiracies, but really we have to just look at the facts. Take the cancer part out of it. We still are now seeing all of these leaked audio tapes, things that are coming out that were just proving the point that everyone could see, but really they only started to deny, or they really only started to admit any of it after that debate performance.
Really, and then also after the loss to President Trump as well, is when people like Jake Tapper, who had covered for the state of the president for so long, and we even had that term cheap fake that got coined because you couldn't believe your lying eyes when you saw performances from the former president. And really, to me, it's kind of a sad day for our country as you look at what the diagnosis that was distributed yesterday, as well as what is coming out in that book tomorrow that's released, as they have kind of slow dripped some of the stories. It shows you really how cynical politics have become, that people are used as pawns for power, and even all the way up to the president of the United States. And that when you see medical experts have saying that there's no way that this diagnosis was just discovered this past week, at the stage it's at, knowing the type of care a president receives while in office, especially one that is one of the oldest presidents of all time, they would have discovered this much earlier. And yet they kept it from the public to maintain this illusion of strength and power, instead of maybe figuring out a different path forward, because they were afraid of the alternative of relinquishing power.
Yeah. What do you think? I want you to give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Again, be respectful. We're not going to take calls that are being mean or demeaning to President Biden as he is going through this. But if you do have thoughts on how this all came together, what the truth is, what we're learning about it, maybe those tapes that came out where he struggled with dates and all of that, give us a call. I'd like to hear from you. Again, we're also going to talk with Rick Rennell later. President Trump and Putin have been having conversations this morning, hopefully leading to an end to that war as well. And last week was a big week here at the ACLJ, and we could really use your support. If you've seen the news, you know what was going on, including with pro-life health care workers and pro-life pregnancy centers, and why they need us more than ever. We're going to break that down, of course, a little bit later. And you can become an ACLJ champion today. That's at aclj.org. It's a monthly recurring donor, and it really helps us out. Seculo. As I said, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I know a lot of you are just tuning in right now, as always happens here on the second segment as we get rolling. We're going to restate what is going on. Obviously, the big news was that former President Biden, announced that he has really stage four. Is that stage four? Is that correct? Or just an aggressive form.
Right.
An aggressive form of prostate cancer that has spread into his bones. This is something that, again, is very sad. We shouldn't ever be talking about that in a way that's offensive to the person who's suffering. We should be praying for him and praying for his family. However, it does happen to coincide with the release of a lot of information on President Biden's ability to govern during his time in the White House and what happened those last years, whether that was from the George Clooney reports or whether that was coming from Jake Tapper's new book that's supposed to be released in a day and a half. And of course, you have even more with the leaked audio that came out. Just a lot that kind of shows that the cover-up was aggressive. The cover-up was very intentional. It's not that we're all shocked by that, but the facts that are spilling out even make it a little worse. And specifically, we know the president, President Biden, may have been suffering for the better part of his last year.
And when you also take into account the timing of this announcement, when you hear doctors, there was in our break, there was an oncologist that was on Morning Joe, so not on conservative media, that was talking about that he likely knew about this or definitely had it even at the beginning of his presidency when he took office in 2021, based off of, as the oncologist was saying, the way that it grows, how long it takes, even the aggressive form of cancer here for it to get to his bones would take a long time, not just a past 100, 200 days situation. But yet they released this announcement 2 days before this devastating book, which is titled Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again, that's coming out from Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson. That we've obviously
CNN's Jake Tapper.
Right. One who participated in that cover up for years, saying that taking the White House talking points, everything is fine. These are cheap fakes. Leave him alone. He's doing great. He's stronger than ever. And the fact that they would take the time now to announce this diagnosis 2 days before the book is released is just more evidence of those people around him not protecting
someone. No, it reeks of politics.
It takes the humanity out of someone and makes them only a political puppet, which has been the criticism from the right for a long time of that Joe Biden probably shouldn't be in this position.
Yeah.
And he is a political puppet that that people around him are not giving him humanity.
Yeah,
by forcing this to continue.
At this point, look, you can do whatever you want. It's your decision to make as a person what you want to share. I think that saying, hey, he had to tell the American people if he was suffering from this kind of aggressive cancer. You're the president of the United States. It is different than, I believe you do have now. I don't think he would have told anyone if he didn't want to. It's his personal business, his personal health business. No one needs to know that. That doesn't need to be announced. If you want to announce it, that's fine. If you want to tell people what's going on and rally people around you and hopefully get some prayers and support, great. I have no problem with that. I'm not saying that. But if it was something that was intentionally being hidden, let's take the cancer side out of it, because I really feel for that and I don't want that to be the case. But you talk about the people that are surrounding him. And when you hear things like this leaked tape with her, or you find out all this information that the talking points that we were given were not only misleading, they were what we assumed they really were.
Right.
They were accurate, because he said, look, I didn't bring up certain topics. He did. Dates were forgotten. All of these things were brought up and all of the proof was there. And we had it there the whole time. Now, again, what really bothers me, like you said, Will, is the politics of all of this. I think there's a lot of people who have horrible people that surround them. People who are abusive, people that, and not just elder abuse. I'm talking about in general, in life, in the world, in politics, in business, in faith. You have a lot of opportunistic people who see power, who see strength, who see money, and will take advantage of a situation at hand, however they can. And I think that happens with a lot of people. And it happens a lot of times when people are suffering or dealing with something, and they're intellectually smart people who have some real issues going on. And then surrounding them are people who are going to take advantage of those issues. That is my concern with President Biden. And that's why I say pray for him and pray for his family. And hopefully pray the people around him are good people. As you said, a few days before this book drops, when it was probably the number one story this weekend was those tapes. And that all of this was happening. And Jake Tapper's about to do this big expose. And then all of a sudden, it's you even saw the talking points. I think a few people specifically said, hey, we need to make sure we calm down the rhetoric. He's sick. He's suffering. Let's not just ram it home and make it even worse for him. I get that. But that's precisely why it feels like a political move, not a real medical move, which is unfortunate. But sadly, it's kind of where we are in American politics.
And when you mentioned the special counsel Robert Hur tapes that Axios received late on Friday, I believe, they released the tapes, the actual audio tapes of that interview that special counsel Robert Hur conducted with President Biden over his removal of classified documents and not storing them properly. Remember, this is what President Trump had been charged with by the special counsel Jack Smith. And there was a special counsel appointed to see if there was going to be prosecution against the president regarding this. And it was the firestorm that came out of this when Robert Hur wrote a report saying, I'm declining charging him. Because one of the decisions as a prosecutor you have to make is, can you get a conviction? And he even put aside all of the issues of trying to charge a sitting president and said, it is my feeling that a jury would see him as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. And the left went crazy and they attacked him. Joe Biden attacked him and said, why would he bring up my dying son? Why would he do all these things? And in reality, when you heard those tapes, we got the transcript a while ago and you read it and it was shocking. And then I listened to the tapes and I actually didn't want to play them today. Because it was so much more devastating to hear it when you heard the audio. And it's you don't want to just continue to pound on this. We know what happened. We understand. The debate finally put an end to all of the speculation. But in reality, you hear that. And it was things that would have been easily, even the rhetoric he used, if he's like, I don't remember, or things of that nature. It was him struggling to gather his thoughts.
It wasn't
thoughts.
Pleading the fifth kind of, I don't remember, I do not recall. It wasn't that. It was like you said, a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory who couldn't really piece everything together and was running our country at that point. And you do, again, I hate to just reiterate it and push it forward, but to me, the blame does not lie on President Biden, specifically if he's suffering from these issues. The blame is to be the people around him. That team of young people, if they want to say, and young meaning, I guess, under 70, who were controlling not only the narrative that he was well, but also clearly controlling a lot of the decisions that were being made. Now, that's not to say that every president doesn't have their advisors and their group. Of course, everyone does. Every business does. No one is a solo show. It's not how it works. You can't do that. With AI, maybe you're going to get there one day, but right now you can't do that. So when you have people surrounding you that don't have your best interests or the best interests of the country or think they have the best interests of the country by propping this up and creating this charade until it was too late. That was the crazy part. And you had Joe Biden last week or 2 weeks ago on The View saying, I don't think it would have mattered, if he had gotten out earlier, essentially Donald Trump was going to win. I think they knew that, but the last ditch effort was saying, okay, we got to pull him and see because he beat him so badly in that debate. And now when you go, okay, was this guy suffering from an aggressive form of cancer 8 months ago during that debate, 9 months ago? It sounds like it, even if it wasn't caught, even if they didn't say it. And then does your heart change of how you feel about the guy? Yeah, probably. But really what it should do is say the people around him were bad people. People around him were abusing the situation. And hopefully those are the kind of things that can be exposed and changed. I look forward to reading the book because what I hope the book says is that. I hope that Jake Tapper says, look, this guy, you're not going to like his policies. I hated almost all of his policies. But in general, he had bad people around him.
Well, in reality, a lot of those people were holdovers from the Obama-Biden presidency. It was the team that got elevated. And if anything, it should be that those people should never be working in the White House again. Those shouldn't be cabinet members, shouldn't be advisors, shouldn't be executive branch leadership ever again. And the Democrat Party already is spiraling out of control. But if it's that same team that rises to the top under a new president, it doesn't matter who that president is. If it's that same team, that's the real deep state, if you want to look at it that way. They should never work in Democrat politics again because of what they put forward against the country.
All right, phone lines are open for you. We're going to take some more calls coming up at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about a couple other topics and some ACLJ issues. I want to encourage you right now, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. As I said, phone lines are open for you. We're going to take some of those as well. We're also going to talk about some of the other news. I mean, this is the top story. We're not going to ignore it. I think that was part of our conversation this morning, which was how do we approach this and treat this with respect as we should, but also be honest and truthful. And I think there's other issues that have come up over the weekend as well, including that bombing attempt that happened in Palm Springs. So that's something we need to discuss as well, because more information, look, when you see a fertility clinic or anything like this, under attack, obviously your mind jumps to the abortion clinic attacks by the far radical groups from decades ago. And that's where my mind went first, which was, oh no, what is this? Oh, we can't get back to that. Look, if we're going to say that pro-life pregnancy resource centers are under attack, we can't be doing the opposite. Now, that doesn't seem to be what this was. This seems to be someone who was very unwell, who actually was very much targeting when we say pro-life, any form of life. So when you have this, it also just shows the state of the country that there are people like this. And another worrisome thing that's happening, there are people who are upset about even their own life and therefore are willing to try to take out as much life as they can right here at home.
That's right. This was a 25-year-old. Who
is that young?
Bombed a Palm Springs fertility clinic in California. What they are saying, according to officials, that is one of the largest bombing scenes that they've ever had in Southern California. They believe he was trying to live stream the bombing. He died in the bombing. Fortunately, no one else was harmed. And also the lab that contained all of the fertility material was fine. So it was best case scenario for such a horrific terror attack. But here's where it gets to the heart of this and what we fight against at the ACLJ is that they found social media, manifestos, YouTube clips, audio recordings of this individual as they're piecing together the FBI the motive. They keep saying no motive has been declared, but that is the speak of law enforcement as they
investigate.
They're already releasing materials about this individual, including that he laid out the case allegedly in a online manifesto for, quote, a war against pro-lifers. He believed himself to be a pro-mortalist as well as anti-life and anti-natalist, and was upset because he had not consented to his birth. This is a very twisted, deranged, evil ideology and philosophy that was attacking life, wanting to end life, wanting to wage a war against pro-lifers. And at the same time that this type of attack happens, we at the ACLJ are having to fight against a state government that is using taxpayer dollars to defame, to call pro-life pregnancy resource centers fraud, that they are lying, that they don't give you hope. And then you see the ordinances that are trying to silence speech around the country. And then you, at the same time, you think about the discovery about how the military was training soldiers that it were pro-life individuals, Operation Rescue, or people that had choose life license plate, that they are potential terror threats. But the left is pushing around the country that being pro-life is bad and that it should be silenced and that it is a fraud, a fraudulent clinic. And they are attacking it through the political spectrum, through their laws, through their campaigns, through their ordinances. And it leads to an ideology that being pro-life is bad. And then you have deranged individuals, evil individuals, whose ideology is so extreme that they want to wage a literal terroristic war against pro-lifers.
Yeah, I guess pro-lifers and people that just are, you know, life in general. I mean, again, a fertility clinic in Palm Springs, California, not where you think you'd have the most militant people going out and doing this type of things. It also is a part of the mental health crisis happening in our country, where you have people who believe this and feel this. And I think Will's right that we need to make sure when we're talking about these topics that we're doing out of a place of hope, doing out of a place of Christ-like way. These are the ways these conversations can change. And hopefully you can reach people's hearts and minds at the same time. Because you look at this individual and you read his information. Of course, he is living out this deranged fringe idea of the idea of not choosing to be alive, not consenting to life himself, therefore needs to take out as much life as he can. This is someone who is basically a kid, though. You're talking about a 20-something-year-old, 24-year-old?
25.
I mean, we've all been 25. You could say that a lot has changed. Your mental abilities change over the next decade from there. And it's hopeless and it's sad. And it should be treated that way. And it should be treated when we actually look at this, saying, okay, if you're going to start attacking pro-lifers, if you're going to have that kind of rhetoric, if you're going to have Chuck Schumer out there saying, we're going to unleash the whirlwind on the Supreme Court justices that overturn Roe, these end up being the consequences. When you start saying threat to democracy, you have an assassination attempt on a president of the United States or a former president running for president. When you talk this way, and I'm not just talking to the Democrats. I'm also talking to you Republicans and conservatives and you fringe people who post online, who incite violence. We saw what happened with Comey last week. We saw what happened when they, you call out that violence. You got to call it all out and say, we got to change the way we're talking about it here. Because what happens is you end up happening what happened to President Biden, which is clearly you had people behind the scenes. Look, I think that when you look at President Biden's record previous to when he became president, and specifically pre-Obama, he was a fairly moderate Democrat, someone who pretty much created the Hyde Amendment, someone who was pretty much considered a pro-life Democrat. And everyone thought, okay, much like a lot of them, he gets in line and he takes these fringe views. Now I'm curious how much of that was him. Because you have people surrounding him, and whether, by the way, that could be in people that work there, that could also be family, people that are just opportunistic, who see a weak spot. It's the same story, just told from a different point of view. Look, we get into the next half hour. We're going to discuss that a lot also with Rick Rennell, who will be joining us. He was involved, obviously, in the first Trump presidency, out throughout the campaign to where there Joe Biden won the presidency. And then, of course, now is a special envoy and has been part of our team for many years now. So we're going to discuss that with him coming up. We're also going to take your phone calls. If you're on hold, please stay on hold. We're going to get to you. It may be a little bit later in the show, but we will get to you with two lines open right now for you at 1-800-684-3110. As we head to the end of this first half hour, I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Last week, we talked about all the major successes, all the major victories we had. But, we have seen the news. And all of a sudden, if they can start saying that this guy was, Target was essentially a pro-life activist, which he certainly was not. But you're not hearing a lot about the real motives. You start putting the pieces together like I did. We know places like pro-life pregnancy resource centers are going to be, again, a target. And we have fought and fought for them. We've mobilized not only our legal team, but our media team across the country. Actions keep continuing to pour in. We have so much going on around the world right now at the ACLJ. I mean, it is non-stop. Whether we're at the UN Human Rights Council, whether we're talking about what's going on and working people in Nigeria, the Boko Haram situation, you have all of the Christian persecution, and I mean real persecution, life and death kind of persecution that's happening outside of our country. We're involved in that as well. And you can be a part of that team. It's very easy. Go to aclj.org, support the work financially, become an ACLJ champion if you can also. That's a monthly recurring donor. We got a second half hour coming up. Make sure you're joining us live at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged. now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo, second half hour. I'm glad you're joining us for it. Of course, as we say, if you're hearing this later on, the show is live every day, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can work your way back wherever you live, whatever time zone you're in. We do it Monday through Friday. Of course, it plays throughout the country on terrestrial radio at different times during the day. But we are live, and you can always watch us live at aclj.org, on our YouTube channel, on our Rumble channel. You can find us on X. We are broadcasting on most of our social media platforms. Of course, clips are posted later on in the day, and great content from our incredible media team. So incredible that you had the Health and Human Services, the HHS, find one of our blogs and then form an investigation. This is pretty awesome. That's what our team is doing here at the ACLJ, creating incredible content that then gets shared to the most important people on the planet, most powerful people on the planet. With that, I want to take some phone calls coming up at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us in the next segment. To restate, if you are just joining us for the second half hour, of course, we are talking about the diagnosis of President Biden, saying he has an aggressive form of cancer, spread to his bones, horrible. We're praying for him, praying for his family. But really, this, of course, comes just a day or two before the release of Jake Tapper's book that, of course, coming from Jake Tapper, which feels ironic to begin with, always has been. But you're talking about a book that was going to be sort of the smoking gun, the blowing the whistle off of the truth that was going on behind the scenes for President Biden during his last year running into the election. And of course, the disastrous debate that ended his campaign. And a lot of this had to do with mental acuity, had to do with the HER tapes, all those things that have come out over the last few weeks leading up to this. And then not so suspiciously, they make this announcement that President Biden has cancer, and an aggressive form of cancer that they said likely would have been caught. This was not something that they found out this weekend. Now, it's no one's business. I will say that. It's no one's business if you're sick, especially if you're post. I mean, if he was president, sure. But now that he's not president, the question is, did they know that ahead of time? Were there people around him that were surrounding him and propping up someone who shouldn't have been in that position? I feel for him. I feel that there is some certainly abuse going on in terms of the staff around him, in terms of his family, potentially people who could benefit from him being president, and were not willing to let that go when you had someone having severe medical issues, whether that was mental or physical or both. But here we are. And it feels like the Biden team always does this. They play politics very, very well, but also play it a little too clearly.
A little too political.
Like we all can see through when you make this announcement days before a book releases, when you have just done he was on The View 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Could have said it then. I have a feeling, like you said, they probably knew a lot of this for a while. We don't know that for sure. And maybe they don't.
Well, and based off what many of the...
Well, then who didn't tell him?
You know, fortunately or unfortunately, in this age of nonstop news, that there have been plenty of oncologists on TV shows. And we know how closely that, you know, White House doctors monitor the president. It is unfathomable at this point, according to what the oncologists are saying, that aren't his oncologists, but just oncologists on TV, about the level of this, how it has already metastasized to his bones, that this wasn't showing up in blood work, that his numbers were not elevated to a level where they would know that this was going on years ago, not just within the last couple months. So once again, the timing of it is not even thinly veiled as a political timing, because of, and we can play this later, but even Van Jones on CNN talking about what's in the book calls it a crime against the Republic. That's Van Jones saying the cover-up of Joe Biden's state is a crime against the Republic.
So, and he was one of the first ones, I remember, right after the debate that was like,
he's got to go. Right.
And we all thought that was all planned.
And if you have Van Jones making that statement, that is the exact reason why they are releasing this news today, to try and change the narrative and get some sympathy for the president, the former president, as he...
And just make it go away. Stop book sales. You know, continue the 24-hour news coverage of this. End it. Look, we're going to take your calls in the last segment of the broadcast, which is just a few minutes away. We're going to have Rick Grinnell joining us, and then we're going to take your calls. We got one line open at 1-800-684-3110. If you are on hold, stay on hold. We will get to you. Coming up in just a few. Be right back. Oh, Eric DeSeculo, Rick Rennell is joining us. Of course, we are talking about still, we got a lot of calls that we'll get to coming up in the next segment. We're obviously talking about some of the breaking news that was happening, not only President Biden, the announcement of his aggressive form of cancer that has spread to his bones. Of course, like I said, our prayers are to him and his family. It's not something we take lightly here. It's not something we're joking around about. But it did open up a lot of questions. And of course, Rick, it has been something we've been talking about for years, which means you have a team of people around you who are propping up. Let's just even take away the cancer side of it. We saw what's going on with, you know, as ridiculous that is, as it sounds, Jake Tapper's book and the audio that was released. You have people, and it's sort of a problem in politics in general, business in general, opportunistic people. It feels like they can surround people who, when they need to use them, they will. And you had someone who was clearly unwell, and until the American people saw it with their own eyes for maybe the sixth time when they had that debate, was when they finally were able to, or they had to do something. This is sort of not only is it an interesting thing to study, it's kind of a sad state of how we run things in politics.
Look, my reaction is that transparency is not political. However, right now it seems partisan. It feels like the Democrats don't want transparency, and it's the Republicans who are trying to come forward and doge different ideas that politicians are bringing forward in secret. We have to uncover all of this and let the chips fall where they may. Let's have the American people see what we're spending on, see what discussions are going on. Donald Trump is the most transparent president we have ever had. And the media, they try to say, he's always on camera. He loves to be on camera talking. And so he invites the press in everywhere. But I think it's a decision by the president to be completely transparent. He wants the American public to watch negotiations. We've seen that going on with Zelensky, right? Where these incredible discussions behind closed doors that have been spending hundreds of millions of dollars of the American taxpayer money, by the way, suddenly it's all out front. People are able to see what's happening, and I think people love it. The media always mocks it because they prefer to have things done in secret. Then they can control it. Then they are the arbiters of what's happening, and people have to go to them to listen. They're the filter, if you will. And so I think that Donald Trump has completely smashed this whole system by just opening it up and being transparent. The Joe Biden team has been really running from transparency. They don't want us to know about his medical records. They don't want us to know what people actually were thinking when they were in the Oval Office with President Trump. They've spun this huge tale, and we all know that it is just not true. First of all, I'm a cancer survivor, and I can tell you that prostate cancer in particular is something that you watch and can see it slowly progress. Joe Biden, as president of the United States, was supposed to be one of the people that was monitored, his health was monitored more than any other person. So we just have fundamental questions to ask of the last doctor that was at the White House. Did he do a PSA test? Does he know what the results were? Did he ask the President Biden about side effects? How long has Biden known? I don't believe that he just found out. I believe that if you understand the facts surrounding cancer and specifically prostate cancer, you know about this well in advance.
Well, and Rick, even to that, and it's unfortunate that this conversation about the cynicism that we're seeing out of the Democrat political machine has to be about very serious issues about people's health, and that what should be at this point, as Logan said earlier, a private matter for the former president, that he's no longer in office. This shouldn't be something that really at this point is anyone's business, except for the fact of what appears to be another cover-up by either people around him, or if it's trying to cover up what's coming out in the book because of the timing of this announcement. And it really, for someone who watches politics, analyzes it, and has been around it for so long, it really is kind of a sad moment that we're seeing the continued dehumanization even of politicians that the Democrats seem to do because of the quest for power and to maintain that or regain that.
Look, 4 months ago, Joe Biden was the president of the United States. You are not going to be able to convince me that the medical team around him, which is supposed to be the best, somehow did not know that he had prostate cancer. This didn't just pop up in a late stage. And the reality is that we need answers. Why was everything so secretive? Why was it so hidden? And how did they control it? I mean, everything leaks from the federal government surrounding Republicans when they're in the White House. I don't understand how they control the system so much. And that's the scary part, Will. That is the scary part to me, is if they can control the system that the president of the United States has cancer and we're not going to release it because it's not the right timing, what else are they hiding? If they are that powerful and in cahoots with the media to the point where the media protect them, and they can keep things completely away from public attention that should be part of the public's debate, I want to know what else is being hidden from us, because this is a very slippery slope and a very scary one.
Yeah, I go back to the days, the COVID days, which obviously none of us really want to revisit mentally, emotionally, or physically. But think about how quickly press releases were dropped, announcements were made from that medical team when anyone tested positive that was surrounding the president or anyone involved with him. We would find out President Biden, or even earlier with President Trump, we'd find out they were speaking, and then 10 minutes later they had to do a test, and that was public information. That was something that was tweeted out immediately. It was tweeted out because, Will, that was still when it was Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So you know what? I'm not going to go after you this time. You can't go after me for that. So we know that medical team is honestly on some kind of high alert and have access to release information. And now I told Will, if it's something where President Biden genuinely found out, and of course there's questions about that, yesterday that he had prostate cancer and all of this is happening and it's getting extreme, none of our business. He's not the president anymore. Whatever. That's something that he could deal with. But if this has been known and this was something that was hidden, obviously you're a public servant. You are the head of the country. And Rick is someone I know who's gone through this and followed your journey as well. The idea that he could have been leading the country during that, it becomes abusive.
Look, I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and that comes out of the blue. That comes out as a moment where you have no idea you can feel healthy, and then suddenly you've got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. There's a lot of cancers that come out very suddenly. Prostate cancer is not one of them. And that's just my point here, is that you don't have a late stage prostate cancer diagnosis if you have been under the most incredible medical care for the last 4 years. It does not make sense. And so people need to start asking these questions. Again, for me, it's, you know, maybe Joe Biden and his sickness could have been prevented a long time ago if we were more honest about what it was. He was the president of the United States, and you know, he could have been making decisions in his state that are very concerning. Did he really understand? You know, you listen to the HER tapes and you think, wow, this guy is not well. And yet he was running the United States of America. It's very concerning to me that we could have that. This is the case. We could have a president of the United States that is not well, and yet the medical team, the political team, and the media all work together to hide it. That's the point.
Yep, Rick. And I think that is what we're trying to press here. We got a lot of calls, people calling in, asking a lot of questions. And some of them, look, I have to appreciate, looks like most people are being respectful of this. They understand the severity of it, but they also see the timing of it. And they see that the book was going to drop and all the news was coming, that the tapes were happening. And they play politics a little too, as Will said, a little too transparently, it feels like, this team. That the Biden team has always done this, where the American people can see right through to the narrative they're trying to present. But yeah, all right. I just realized we're running out of time, Rick, here. You got like 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Look, they get away with it because the media lets them get away with it. And so they keep doing it because they get away with it.
Yep. Thank you so much. Rick, always great to hear from you. Now coming up, we get to hear from you, the most important voice in the room. We got one line open, though. If you want to call in, it's a great time to call in. We'll do our best to get to you, sixth caller. We're going to try to get to these five that are on hold right now. So Lydia, Michael, Don, Greta, Dave, stay on hold. I'm going to get to you coming up here in the next segment. Of course, I want you to spend a little time on ACLJ.org, just like our HHS department. Go spend some time. Go look at some of the incredible free content we put out, by the way, not behind a paywall like some of the others. Don't do that here. We want to make sure you have content that you can share. The only reason, though, we can do that is because people like you support us financially. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, become a champion if you can. That's a monthly recurring donor. Do it today. Be right back. All right, let's take some phone calls. A lot of you have been on hold since the beginning of the show, and we appreciate that. So we'll just go in order and look. I will say this before we do this is I know a lot of people have their thoughts, their comments. This is not a medical advice show. Will and I are not doctors.
Correct.
So I don't want to come across like we know anything in terms of that. We know other things, but we don't necessarily, we're not medical professionals or even pretending to be. So if you have medical advice and thoughts and comments, know that that has really nothing to do with what we do here, but understand people have those questions and concerns. Let's go to Greta in Georgia, listening on the radio. You're on the air.
Hey, y'all. It's a former medical doctor practicing in communist Romania and the surgical assistant here in the United States working in a urology clinic. I know for sure every single simple doctor, like a family practitioner, after 40 years old, it is recommended a routine prostate test for every single man.
Yeah.
Is there possible that in the United States, the president of the United States didn't have this test ever? We just wake up right now. Do you think you are so stupid?
Well, Greta, I think that is the kind of the point, which is this idea that politics gets played so clearly and so abundantly ridiculously with, honestly, with the Biden team and how it's always been, which it's always just like clever timing, like let's save a diagnosis, a horrible diagnosis that all of us are really upset about, by the way, because I don't think, I hate for anyone who's suffering, anyone who's suffering from cancer specifically. But you save it till 2 days before a book is released, a bombshell book that's supposed to show you what was actually going on. Of course, you can see right through it. Of course, Greta, all of these kind of routine exams are recommended by doctors. I can't give medical advice, but I can tell you that is something that you know your whole life is coming, that they're going to have to start doing these tests for you at a certain age. And certainly if you're in your 80s, I would assume that that is happening.
Well as we know in the president. The medical team at the White House, their entire job is to make sure that everything is going well with the president as far as their health and maintaining that. So as Greta said, she mentioned that she was a medical professional in Romania before being a medical professional in the United States. And she said, this reminds me of the propaganda I grew up with. It's what she told the screener, is that, yes, this timing is not highly suspect. It is blatantly obvious why this announcement was made yesterday, yeah, ahead of this book release. But Logan, I think we should go some more phone calls.
All right, continuing on, I'm just going to go in order as they came in. Let's go to Don in Utah, watching on Salem News Channel, which we're live on each and every day. You can find that on Pluto or on Samsung and also just on their website. Don, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I have a concern about the comments about Joe Biden being somehow a victim of the people he's around, and I know there's some bad actors and that's clear, but I don't think any of them are any worse than Joe Biden. You know, we're all victims of Joe Biden's presidency, especially, and even before that, when he had his mental capacity, he wasn't I think he had contempt for the people of the United States, and I'm not so sure he cared about the country at all either, with the way he did with bribing countries and things like that. So, yeah.
Don, it's not like he had a clear-cut presidency, and I don't want to pretend like we're exonerating him from any of the issues that happened here. What I will say, though, is maybe in the last year that those were exacerbated to a point of abusive. Now, I'm not saying I agree with him on anything. I disagreed on pretty much every decision the Biden administration made. I could say I probably disagreed with 95% of the decisions the Obama administration made, which he was part of as well. It's just a different, but it is different to look at it through this lens.
Well, especially when you hear the content of the special counsel interview with the president is that, yes, I agree. I don't absolve him from the policies of the Biden administration. He was the president. But also there is, this does raise questions we need to know. When you hear that interview, if he were operating like he was within the her interview most days of the presidency, he wasn't doing anything to run the country.
Yeah, what it really shows is that like George Clooney moment was accurate.
Right.
He said he didn't even recognize me. Those tapes tell you that that's true. We got to continue on though. Let's keep going. Let's go to Michael, who's calling in West Virginia, watching on YouTube. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, the only way you're going to get the kind of transparency you're talking about is if you slap a body cam on every single congressman when they walk out the door at 8 o'clock in the morning. True. And don't take it off of them until they go home at night and then tell them, go to bed. That way there are no more backroom deals and you can use it for education purposes, you know.
Yeah, Michael,
study 500 hours of this.
Yeah, I kind of love that. I'll be honest, Michael, I don't think that's going to happen. Look, I understand that I'm maybe looking at it through rose-colored glasses going, this, I feel like we should have better people. Maybe that's the answer. The answer is we need to be electing better people, people you can trust, people that actually are representing the country and their state and their district, and they're not just out for themselves. And I feel that way, or even including when you put together a team. Be much more careful with that. But Michael, go put some body cams on them. That could be kind of fun.
I mean, that would be great television.
I'd watch it.
Everyone would watch that.
I'd watch it. It'd be great. I mean, Will watches body cam footage all the time from police.
Yeah, it's in my algorithm.
I know.
On
YouTube. You send me stuff all the time.
It's you like, got to see this.
I know that. So what if it was...
There was an alligator in the middle of the highway.
We have 24/7 AOC. You know, it's crazy. All right, let's continue on. We only got a couple minutes. We got two calls. Lydia, you're on the air. That was very close because you guys were really close on when you called in. Lydia in California, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. First and foremost, we proclaim to be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Let me tell you what it says in Zechariah chapter 7. It starts with verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense truth, justice, and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother. Yep. Do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. And also in Malachi 3, chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name.
Yeah.
And they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts.
Preach, Lydia. I really appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate those verses, and I agree with you 100%. I appreciate that. I'm only cutting you off because we are running out of time, and I really want to get to this next call real quick. Dave is calling in Texas, but Lydia, thank you so much. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call.
You got about a minute, Dave. Go ahead. Sorry, I was running out of time.
I am a physician in Texas, and I've been a physician for 25 years. I know for a fact that Joe Biden had dementia in 2019 and probably before. Prostate cancer is extraordinarily slow growing. To have a stage 4, this had to have been going on for at least 5 years. So his White House physician, we can have Ronnie Jackson, former White House physician, but his White House physician was either incompetent or was gagged by the media.
Yeah. I think we'll find out, Dave. I really do.
And to Dave's point as well, this is the same crowd that was covering up for President Biden, was the same crowd that was yelling about we need the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump because they disagree with policy. Then when the 25th Amendment talks about when a president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, if they wanted a real conversation, it would have probably been around something like this. But instead, they make everything in the Constitution political.
I think in those last days, they probably were telling him they were going to do that.
Right.
And that's what ended up having him step down from running. I think they probably said, look, we're going to take this because they knew what was going on. And they knew that they were going to get beat handily. And of course, that still happened either way. It was a little too late and probably wasn't going to happen in general. That's going to do it for our show today. We appreciate it. It's a fast-paced show. If you're brand new here, by the way, you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, subscribe. Do that right now. We do the show each and every day. And if you can become an ACLJ champion, become an ACLJ champion, someone that supports life, liberty, all across the world, not just here in America. We are protecting your values worldwide. Talk to you tomorrow.